So we'll just read part of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll just read part of it, then open up in prayer. But understanding this, that in the last days there will come difficult times. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. We'll stop there. We'll open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we could come here and learn more about you and think about you. And we just thank you for the beautiful sun shining today and the nice warm weather. In the Lord Christ, we pray. So we have chapter 3, and it talks. So we just read that little section of it. But understand this, in the last days there will come difficult times of difficulty or difficult times. And then it lists these types of people. So lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, treacherous, reckless, conceit, lovers of the pleasure than lovers of God, and having the appearance of godliness but denying. All those are pretty bad things, right? And I know I myself have been guilty of a couple of these things here and there. I'm not going to say I was guilty of all of them or none of them, but, you know, all these are bad things. So what is Paul talking about to Timothy here in the last days? When are the last days? When is that? You know, ever since Jesus came here, we've been basically in the last days. So if in 1 Timothy 4, he talks about the latter times, which is now. 1 John 2:18 talks about the last hour. 1 Corinthians 10:11 talks about the end of the ages. So we're talking about now. If you don't believe it's the last times now, has anybody gone out shopping on Black Friday? I have a few times. I'll be honest. I actually enjoy it. The first time I went, I was more in disbelief that it was really like that you see on TV, and you see the people, you know, yelling and screaming over a TV or, you know, a little toy or something like that because they want that cheap price. And then, so, you know, you have that Black Friday, just the craziness of the world. The politics. Politics nowadays is all over the place. You know, you cannot know if somebody is telling the truth or if he's lying, what they're actually going to do when they get in office, what they're going to do if they don't get in office. You just don't know. You know, so if you're watching the politics and you're looking up to these people or whatever and you don't agree or disagree, I mean, you just don't know. And most of the things on this list, we can probably say a politician has done. If you watch the news, normally after you watch the news, you don't really feel real good about what's going on outside. Normally you go right to your front door and you lock it because all the things that you learn on the news. Not that the news is always telling the truth, but, you know, it's you see the signs of these end times. There was recently there was a church leader that pushed his wife down the stairs. He tried to blame it on the dog. They didn't have a dog, you know. So even in the church, you see it. So it'll say later on in the passage, it talks about says that having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. You know, if you're truly following God, you're not going to push your wife down the stairs or poison your husband's food or anything like that. You know, you're going to follow what God wants. And when all else fails, if you don't think it's the end times, visit Walmart. You will see some different stuff in there. You know, there's people out in the world, and you do a little people watching, you'll notice that you were definitely in these times that he's talking about. So how do we avoid these people? Do we just, we see them coming and we walk the other way? You know, what should we do when we see someone proud or someone that's a lover of money? You know, if we avoided every single one of these people, we wouldn't be able to go to the grocery store and pick up our stuff. Not that we know, you know, what's in their heart, but there's bound to be one of these people in a grocery store. So what do we do? What would Jesus do in that situation? Would he just completely avoid them? So like when Jesus was traveling around, would he, you know, avoid the cities because he didn't want to talk in there? We think about the woman at the well, all the disciples wanted to walk around that city, but Jesus wanted to walk right through. So when Paul's talking to Timothy here, in Romans 1, 28 through 32, he, you don't have to turn there, but he talks about the same things that he saw that he's warning Timothy about. So there was people filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, all these things. He has a whole big list like he sent. So he's speaking from experience. So he's sending word. He wants to make sure Timothy understands that he's seen it before. He knows it's going to happen. And just watch out. Be careful. But so what do we do? How do we live in times like this? You know, how should we deal with these people? How is it that we can live in the world but not be of the world? Sometimes it's a very difficult thing to do. And, you know, most of us have jobs or had jobs or whatever, and you have to deal with people on a daily basis that are not believing in the same thing we are. You know, sometimes that could be tough. Sometimes the workplace has a lot of swearing, or you go even to get your car fixed and, you know, the people in the shop are swearing. And, you know, how do you avoid and keep your mind pure when things are like that? So verse 6 and 7, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. So these that are creeping in households and capture weak women, you know, that's for someone that I put down TV preachers. So not all TV preachers are bad. There's probably one on right now that's great. And then you'll listen to some that, you know, every 3 minutes he wants you to buy his book. You know, it may be a good book, but is that, you know, bringing the right message? And if we do hear something like this, where we don't know if it's true, what do we do? You know, we have to read for ourselves. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth? Verse 5 says, for here is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. So this knowledge of truth, if we know this knowledge of truth, we will know what's right and wrong. Some teachers will teach us what not to do. And so what is this knowledge of truth? You know, so we've heard the Romans road, for all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. This knowledge of truth is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 2 through 4. and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered you to you as the first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins, and according with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. That's the knowledge of truth, that gospel. He died, buried, rose again. We've all sinned. We've all done, you know, these things wrong. But he was there. He came to save us. Next verse. Just as... I mess up these names all the time. I call it Janice and Jambres. You could pronounce it whatever way you want. It's the easiest way for me. Janice and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Janice and Jambres, we'll probably stop referring to their names now. Back when Moses and Aaron were doing their staffs, when they went to try to get people out, and they were going to throw down the shit. They were part of the people. Exodus 7:11-13. That's where they are. So we'll just read that real quick. It's a wrong bit. Exodus 7:11. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did by the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, the Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord said. So, these two guys, back in these times, Janice and Jambres were probably in the magicians and the sorcerers people. If you were to see nowadays someone take a stick and throw it on the ground and turn it into a serpent, pretty sure that'd be scary. Or if you did see it, you'd at least listen to what the guy had to say, because obviously, like, that's something not everybody can do. You know, there's something there. There's a reason why he can do it and nobody else can. So back then, people probably looked to these guys and wanted to follow them, because even nowadays that would be pretty impressive, you know. But when Aaron did his staff and threw it down, it turned to the snake and, you know, ate the other two. So Aaron's was more powerful. So we know that Aaron's was the true God. But back then, they were, you know, doing it through other sources than God. So, you know, we have to watch and learn from, you know, we read the Bible. If someone does something like that and they throw a stick down, you know, we have to make sure they're not like a false teacher or someone worshiping somebody else other than God. Even if it looks amazing to us, we have to make sure that it's coming from God and it's of God. So no matter who you hear, you know, scripture from and, you know, Bible teachings and from, you always have to check for yourself and look up the scripture verses. Even when I was studying, I would look at different, like, you know, sites and things like that, and they'll just say it's a scripture verse, this goes along with this verse. And there's a few times where I looked up the verse and it had absolutely nothing to do with, you know, the other verse. But it was like there. So it's just, you always have to check. So we have to watch for these people just trying to lead other people astray too. 2 Peter 2:18. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they enticed by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. So that was more for verses 6 and 7, you know, among the households capturing weak women and burdened with sins led astray by these passions. So you have people trying to say like, oh, well, you could be free of that, but yet they're slaves to something else in their own lives. So you heard the take the plank out of your own eye before you take the speck out of your brother's eye. So you have to watch all these things, and just check for yourself. That's what he is, Paul's really trying to get across. Is watch for these people. Don't just let them in. If they are in, you know, you have to make sure you address them. But he says it over and over. So, something a false teacher would do. In 2 Peter, they promise freedom, even though they can't. They don't practice what they preach. No, it's very easy, even as a grown-up, when I'm talking to my kid, you know, don't drink soda after 8 o'clock. And then, you know, that 8:30 when they go to bed, it's very easy to say something and not do it. So when you're studying and you're going to act godly, make sure you act godly all the way through, not just on Sunday. So we all know there's people that on Sunday are completely different than how they are on Monday. Monday through Saturday, the Sunday Christians and things like that. Or even just if you see another Christian out in the, you know, the store when you're in Walmart with all the rest of the corrupt people, and you see another Christian, and all of a sudden you just straighten right out. Oh, I got to pay attention now. You know. So, be the same all the time. God says He was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's something to strive for. So. You know, if someone's saying something and doing something else as a preacher or a leader, make sure, you know, you check them. And if you do catch a leader of a church or something doing something wrong, you know, Matthew 18, talk to him first. Take him to the side. Don't do it, like, not in front of everybody. So we've seen these men, these two guys that opposed Moses. These are men, they were not mentioned in Exodus. They were probably well liked and well followed people. You know, 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, For while bodily exercise is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. So, you know, Paul's stressing, make sure you check. So at work, we do a lot of pros and cons of things. Like if we do an air conditioning system, will it produce any money? When we do an air conditioning, is it better to do one of these or one of the vents? Like, you know, pros and cons, which one's best? So I was trying to do pros and cons of what would be a con of reading the Bible. There really is no bad thing of you reading the Bible. The worst possible case scenario is that you only learn a little bit instead of a lot. Literally, your worst case scenario, you learn a little bit. So that being said, if there's not one bad thing that could come from reading the Bible, you know, why wouldn't we do it more often? You know, like, I'm wondering, like, why in the world wouldn't I do it more often if there's absolutely nothing wrong with it? You know, if we did bodily exercise, there's cons to that, right? Because, you know, if it takes up time, it hurts if you do it wrong. It hurts even when you do it right. So you get sore. So you know, why wouldn't we do it more often? If it's nothing but good, why wouldn't we? And that spoke to me too. I'm not just saying it. That really hit home with me. You know, you have to read, study, and be students of the Word. It says, you know, learn from God our Father. There is a saying, a quote. I couldn't read the writing of who actually wrote it, but someone did actually say this. I never had to unlearn what my Father has taught me. Never had to unlearn what my Father has taught me. If you have a good father, which you have God the Father, but if you had a good father or you've seen a good father, you never have to unlearn what he taught you. You know, unless he taught you how to play golf, in my case. He can't play golf. But, so, read, study, be students of the Word, and do it for yourself. Just don't take and listen and think that's good enough to listen to what somebody else says. You have to do it for yourself, understand it for yourself, learn it for yourself. Everyone has their own way, and, you know, we did this study back in the day, well, about 8 years ago to me, that's back in the day, and it was how to preach the Bible. And there was six of us or eight of us. We all did like a 5-minute message on the same thing. We all had a different message. You know, it comes out differently from each person. That's why it's important also for us as an assembly to talk to each other about the same things. And everybody has something to say. And it's good to hear opinions from everybody. So verse 9. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. So these two men, you know, they had probably followers. They probably did it for years. But then when it came time to actually, like crunch time, to get, you know, with Aaron, they lost. They lost to Almighty God. Exodus 7:12, for every man threw down his rod became a serpent, but Aaron swallowed up the rest. You know, the Lord will take care of his people. He's not just going to, like, leave you out there to dry. He really takes care of his people. If you don't have the words to say, if you're, say, going to tell somebody about the Lord and you don't have the words to say, he will find a way to help you out. He will help you out. Numbers 32:23. You've all heard this verse before, I'm sure. But if you do not do so, then take note, if you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Those people that are doing it wrong, it will eventually come out that they're doing it wrong. You know, when we're at work and this one of my workers or guys that works with me, he cuts sheetrock, and he loves to push as hard as he can when he cuts a piece of sheetrock. Those who've cut sheetrock before, it's you have to cut a piece of paper on the side, and then you snap it, and then you cut the piece of paper on the other side. You know, my 4-year-old, 5-year-old daughter can cut that piece of paper. You do not have to put any pressure. You could just very lightly cut it, and he'll struggle. And we keep going, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong. And eventually, you know, he would break pieces and things would happen. And, like, he just kept on doing it wrong. And it always showed itself when we put it on the wall. You know, and so over time and practice and, you know, watching and learning from the people that did it better, he learned and fixed it. And, you know, once he would start putting it up on the wall, now he's better than most in putting on the wall, he is good. So, you know, that would sin, like, sometimes we do things we don't necessarily know they're wrong, you know, and so we study, we get better, and we just be students of the Word, and that we'll get better in time. But those that are doing it on purpose, that it will be apparent, and the Lord will bring that forth. So, men in corrupt minded and disqualified regarding the faith. So that's, the Lord will also think people that say that they're godly and not, he thinks that, you know, he says that that's worse than just denying. If we are in tune with God, we will see the right and the wrong. You know, we learn from mistakes. And in my line of work, we always say it's if you cut a piece and it's wrong, and or you mess up, it's only a mess up if you didn't learn anything. You know, so just learn from mistakes and adjust. So Paul gave a little, so verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Now, this is a little bit of encouragement after thinking, well, I have all these bad people and bad things going on. You know, you, however, have followed me. So he, at least Timothy knows he's not talking about Timothy. And so you have followed my teaching, my conduct, aim in life, faith, patience, love, steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, talks about Paul sending Timothy and how he's a great example. 1 Corinthians 11 says, I imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That's Paul saying that. Philippians 3:17 tells the Philippians, use us as a pattern. Follow the teaching, follow the Lord's teaching, follow his conduct. Paul says, follow his pace, faith, patience, love, and steadfastness. So it is good to use people as an example, but the ultimate example is the Lord that we want to be like. Mark 8:34 says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So if you're going to follow and you're going to, you know, do godly things and you're going to live the same way you are outside of church, inside of church. We move on to verse 12. Oh, we'll just read 11 and 12. My persecutions and suffering that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. If you are always, you know, doing the right thing and you live the same in church as you are outside of church, you will hear about it from one way or another. I work with a Jewish fellow, and he tells me all the time, I don't know why you go to that church. And I was like, well, why don't you come to the church? And he was like, no, church isn't for me. I don't do that sort of thing. But you know, whatever makes you happy, you do that. So, I mean, it's not like he's, you know, really making fun of me for going to church, but you will hear things like that constantly, you know, or church is a waste of time. It's a waste of time to people that don't bring something with them. Like, if you're not involved in church and you're just coming to church, for that person it probably is a waste of time. But you have to believe, you have to be a student of the word. But if you love something, it's never really a waste of time. I can't say I've ever wasted time playing basketball or golf, because those are things I love. So if you love God, it will never be a waste of time to do something of God. There will be times you don't want to do things. Like, I know I always struggle going to soup kitchen. That's one of the hardest things for me to do, is go to soup kitchen. Once I get to soup kitchen, I am perfectly fine. I joke around. There's the occasional I want to leave early. But it's a great time. And, you know, after you leave, you feel good that you just, you know, help some people. But for me, that was a big struggle, was just going to soup kitchen. I don't love it, but I love God, so I wanted to do it. And when you're there, the Lord takes care of me. You know, there was days where we did soup kitchen, and we'd get there at like 11, and I'd be like, it's 2:30 already, and it's time to go. Like, there wasn't like one dull moment. Time flew by. Didn't even realize the time. So the Lord really takes care of you if you're doing what you're supposed to. I didn't tell God about the time I skipped soup kitchen, but he knows. So you will be persecuted. You will encounter evil people. Verse 13, while evil people, imposters, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, deceivers are liars. They're really tough to deal with. I worked at a car dealership when, you know, 8 years ago or so. There was a gentleman there. I thought he was a wonderful guy. I don't remember his name. I think his name was Keith. It doesn't really matter. But he lied so often. I used to ask him, is that your real name? Is your name really Keith? Like, he just, and you couldn't believe anything he said ever about anything, because he was a deceiver. He thought that was the way to sell cars or do whatever he did. And he was not like, he was fun to be around, but also you didn't want to be associated with him because of the things he did. So, like, you didn't even want to go to the gas station and buy a soda with him because you weren't sure what he was going to do. But, like, in the office, he was fine, but because he was so out of control and had no idea what he was going to say next. But I did not like being anywhere other than just me and him in a room together. Like, that was it. Like, I didn't want to be associated with him at all. So, Titus 3-5. No, I'll read 2-2. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and in envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, he saved us because he wanted to save us. Revelations, you don't have to turn to this one. Revelations 22:11. Let the evildoer still do evil. Let the filthy still be filthy. And the righteous still do right. And the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay such one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You know, we live that godly life. We're going to get persecuted, but he will take care of us. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He will take care of us. If God is with us, who can be against us? So verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. You know, if you really truly learn something, a lot of times you remember the person that you learned it from. So, like, you know, who taught you? When you really love something, you will know who taught you how to do it. So, I know who taught me how to drive, and I know who I played basketball with first, and I know who taught me how to cut trim. Those, like, for, you know, trim for a house. I know who taught me how to paint. Like, those things, that I'm good in or love, you always remember who you learned from. And you want to make sure you learn them from the right person who's the best or knows their stuff. And the best way to do that is you always have to check. So, verse 14, but as knowing whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the sacred writings, you know, it's talking about the Old Testament there. And, you know, why is the Old Testament good? It has a lot of good stories in it. You know, it develops wisdom. You know, how can it develop wisdom? It talks about the fall of man and the rise of sin. What to expect when God comes. You know, it really offers hope. It says several times in the New Testament, you know, written before and written for our learning. Romans 15, 3 and 4 says that, written before. So we see that God, we see then in the Old Testament what God did for Israel, and it gives us that hope. You know, he says he's coming again. It gives us that hope. And we believe him that he's coming again. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, all scripture. It didn't just say like parts of scripture, just, you know, just the New Testament or just the Old Testament. All scripture which God breathed. In Exodus 17:13, the Lord says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this. So that's just one example of the time that, you know, it came directly from God. It wasn't from just them. There is power in the scriptures. If we, to the point where we can speak with God's authority. We think about Moses again, you know. He led the people, and he was able to, the Lord said, you know, do this, and the Red Sea split, you know. He listened to God. We have God's word. I mean, he's maybe not going to speak directly to us, but we listen. He says, you know, remember me, do these things, like breaking the bread and things like that. So Moses, like, hitting the rock. He was supposed to, the last time, he only had to speak to it, and he ended up hitting it. But it's all he had to do was speak. There's power with God. But all scripture for correction and training in righteousness. In closing, I want to go 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1, 3 through 11. So the Lord gives us the tools. He gives us these things. We have to watch out for, you know, the people that are false and doing things wrong. We have to watch ourselves, make sure we aren't doing these things wrong. But we really have to stay in our scriptures. And, you know, it says all scripture is God breathed. We have to pay attention to all scripture. It doesn't mean one's more important than the other. It means it's all important. So he put it all there for a reason. And if you have the Bible, and you're responsible for what's inside of it. So, you know, read it, understand it, so you can teach those who know less or nothing about it. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of a divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue knowledge, and with knowledge self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and you are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Hear that one? If you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. That's amazing right there. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. I just want to thank the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and just that authority that you give us, that greatness that you bring, that if you are with us, that nobody can be against us. And if we follow you and do as we're told, we will never fail. I just want to thank you for that. In the name of Christ, we pray.